Last time on Late End Legends.
You encountered some kind of sleeping creature.
Check.
The population of the city that isn't affected by sleep didn't seem to be affected by this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people have forgotten the elves. They seem to be acting like we've never been here.
I mean, perhaps the sleep spell affected trance differently for the elves, like you said in 10 Black. Yeah, I think obviously we need to find the elves.
Let's go snag a couple horses.
And where are we going?
In the direction of New Elf Town.
All right, I will go secure us a ride out of town. You guys go out and get us some supplies. We're going to need food, probably bedrolls, something to keep us warm.
Yeah.
If there's anything else you need to pack up, this is the chance that you're going to have to get it. The hoofbeats get louder, and then you start to hear the rattling of wheels. And you look behind yourselves, and there, driving up the main street of Renlin, is Lieutenant Black sitting atop a great carriage, and she pulls up to you. She slows down, the horses are breathing hard, and she says, "Get in, losers. We're going to save the elves."
Nice ride.
All right, so we left off last week. You guys did all of your shopping before you are leaving town, and all of a sudden, you were walking towards the north gate, and Lieutenant Black comes up behind you in a carriage and pulls up right behind you and yells down to you, "Get in, losers, we're going to save the elves." And you open the door. You all go into the carriage, I imagine.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shotgun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to get a window seat.
Yeah, well, they're technically all window seats.
Can I ride, in the front? Sit on that, I assume there's a little thing where the coachman sits?
Yeah, the coach driver sits?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Black is driving, but there is, enough room for two people up top.
Well, I'm going to get real cozy to Lieutenant Black.
There we go.
Ooh, okay.
You're going to make Val jealous. Right, so.
No, I just want to be shot. I just want to ride shotgun.
Sure.
Do you still have that repeating crossbow? Because that's not quite shotgun. I'll have to make a shotgun crossbow, and then we'll bring that into the game. All right, so Giovanni, you walk towards the carriage, you put your foot up against the wheel, and then you take your hands on this handlebar kind of railing, and you pull yourself up right next to Lieutenant Black. She looks over at you, but doesn't say anything because, you're just riding shotgun. It's not that big of an issue. But Mordecai and Val, you open the door to the carriage, and inside, there is a figure.
Ah!
And the figure turns to you, and it says,
"Hello, meatbags."
Fives!
Oh.
Who?
And you hear the voice of Lieutenant Black yelling down from up top.
"Yeah, I found him following us around, kind of. He was running really slow, but he followed me to this carriage driver's and where I rented this and said he was supposed to be following you guys around for a while. He's been here, but now he's in the carriage. He wanted to come."
Okay, Fives, two things. You're running slow. Is there a problem with your leg joints?
No.
Okay, good. Secondly, who told you to follow us?
I've been here the whole time.
Does Fives have memory?
I mean, he's got a bit.
Some serious arcane RAM.
He's got a pretty decent, arcane chunk of glintstone there in his noggin, so,
Is the hard drive?
"You three were going to the temple, and you told me to follow you, and I followed you."
I don't remember that, but you know what? Doesn't matter.
Good,
the more
good.
The merrier.
Yep.
Yeah, so just a flashback. We completely forgot about Fives prior to the finale of the last season because you were worried about maybe falling asleep. And when you were rummaging through Nathan's shop, you found Fives in the back there.
Yeah.
You woke him up and you told him to follow you around and wake you up if you fell asleep. So I am retconning. Fives has been here the entire time.
My boy.
Wow.
And it's just never been acknowledged, never been seen. He's just there. We just have all these flashbacks right now to you guys, discussing things, and, there's Mordecai in the middle of the alleyway, and, Lieutenant Black's running up to him, and then there's, Fives in the background behind him, and just gasps as he sees Lieutenant Black running around, you guys are going shopping, and there's Fives, it's this whole thing. Fives has been here the entire time, but never acknowledged.
Oh, man.
Sweet. Do you ever get, Fives to a place where he was modular, for weapons and stuff?
Not yet.
No,
I didn't
think so. I didn't think so.
I think you guys could do it. I mean, like, it is not inconceivable that he would be modular. Like, you could knock out an arm, put on another arm or something like that. And I think I've described these automatons as that in the past because they were essentially practice dummy dolls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's necessary to be able to rebuild them pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's mostly training for the guards. A little bit of backstory. Mordecai fixed him up and got him to a point where you guys could control him loosely. And now he's sort of part of your party, just kind of following you around until he dies painfully or something else happens.
Good to know.
Fives, can you give me a rundown of your armaments, please?
I guess. Sort of rude and presumptuous, but I'll give it a look.
And I'm pulling up his character sheet. So automaton number 5, he has natural, wooden, and gear-related armor, which is 13. His hit points are also 13, and he's pretty weak, actually. Well, he's unarmed, but he can punch real well. Well, he can punch okay. He's an unarmed robotic automaton. That's what you have now.
That's cool.
Okay, do we have any spare armaments that we can give him? Gio, you got anything?
Let me look in my bag. Do you have a backpack?
Sure.
Sack of holding?
Well, I know that Mordecai picked himself up a bag of holding at the Feralborn Trading Co. And he also has his jacket. Mordecai is mostly a glorified pack mule. He just carries around all of your shit.
He is our luggage bag.
I don't look that strong, but I carry
I sold all my extra shit to get my new armor. So I'm actually pretty strapped right now. All right.
I may have a dagger or something to give him.
All right. Just so he's not, you know.
I do, yeah.
I was honestly thinking about giving him the explosive wine bottle that I picked up, but then I was like, he's wood and highly flammable.
Yeah.
All right. So so the two of you are standing outside this carriage. Five says, "What's up, meatbags?" You get a bit of a overview from Lieutenant Black. And what are you doing?
You know what? I think I'll give him I'll get in the carriage and I'll give him the grubber knife that I picked up.
Ooh.
Okay.
I was like, "Don't lose this."
Okay, whatever you say.
And you hand Fives the dagger. This is a dagger that you got from the Hans Gruber knockoff you fought during the Christmas special. And Fives doesn't know quite what to do with this knife, but he just kind of holds it in his hand face up, like vertically, and he just kind of is calmly holding it like that in his natural position. And it's kind of creepy looking because it's just standing there with a knife constantly like in front of him because he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where to put this thing. He doesn't have like a belt or a bag or anything, so he's just holding a knife now.
Could he put it in his leg like RoboCop's gun?
Ooh.
Like, does he just stab himself in the leg?
Stab himself in the leg.
Don't, he's gonna splinter.
You can have that conversation with Fives, but I don't know if he wants to do that.
Fives, you're scaring everybody.
What else am I supposed to do with this?
Val, get in here.
All right.
Okay, so what are you guys doing?
Going. We're going to the temple, right?
Okay.
Or the city. The elf city. Sorry.
Next town, yep.
New elf town. All right, so the five of you now start chugging along in your carriage. Lieutenant Black cracks the whip, and you start taking off down the road, and you enter the gate. You kind of slow down as you approach it because there is a bit of a lineup as people come and go out of the city, but eventually you make your way through the gate, the guards wave you through, and you're now out on the open road.
Ooh. Is this a pretty posh carriage, Josh?
I wouldn't say it's especially posh. Like, it's... Okay. I would say it's, you know, middle of the road. It's kind of like the Toyota of carriages. Like, it's not especially expensive or fancy, but it gets the job done.
Sure. A little bit of room to spread out.
I wouldn't say there's a lot of room. It is a carriage, after all.
Right.
And look at all this storage space. Try to open up one of the seats and it doesn't move.
Yeah, it's definitely not moving. You're trying to pull out like an armrest and it's definitely not doing that.
You know what? I'll get it later. Don't worry.
Is it barren or is there any like equipment in it or anything like that? Or is it just a bare carriage?
it's mostly like a barren carriage. There's not like already somebody else's luggage in here. You guys have stowed your luggage, I imagine, like on the back where there's like a little bit of a trunk where you can put stuff in. Giovanni, maybe while looking around up top, you find that there is like a crowbar for changing the wheels or something if need be. Like there's some emergency equipment, but there's really nothing beyond trying to maintain this carriage.
Okay.
So, the road to New Elftown, which is the real name we gave to this elf village, is a fairly easy road. There are no detours and no confusing intersections, but it is a rough one. Over the course of your first day of travel, the laneway goes from cobblestone quickly to gravel to rough and unmaintained dirt. What's more, sitting in the carriage, well out of the elements, is not exactly comfortable for Val or Mordecai, especially with three of you packed in there. Fives isn't exactly the most gracious guest either ignoring you or judging you when pushed into conversation. Furthermore, he smells of oil. Overall, unpleasant. Regardless, the light of day begins to fade towards night, and discussion amongst the four of you, five, including Fives, turns towards where to bed down for the evening. Do you guys do anything along this route?
Geo's just taking in the sights. He's excited on a real deal quest. Feels like this is the kind of stuff he likes doing. So he's just in a great mood, making small talk with Lieutenant Black.
How's that small talk looking, by the way?
So you drive. What kind of carriage is this?
Jesus fuck! I don't want to have to come up with a brand.
You asked about the small talk. This is what they're talking about.
Okay,
it's a Foy Moda.
Let me see. Okay, give me a second here. Enterprise.
Lovely.
Oh, that's a good make. My parents used to have one of these, but the axle went on it, so we had to get a different brand.
Oh, yeah.
They don't really make these anymore.
No, it's certainly an older model. I mean, it's not like I could afford a newer one. Not like some of those test locks. I don't know what I'm doing here.
That's great.
Where did you, Lieutenant, where did you get the carriage?
Oh, I found it. Just, you know, around some of the downtown parking spaces where vehicle shouldn't be. Enough said about that.
All right.
Okay, good conversation. Solid work. You guys doing anything else?
I was going to ask if she knew where we were going.
Well, we're going to New Elftown, right?
Have you been there before?
No.
Oh, okay. Are you following road signs, or did you print out like a map?
Yeah, there was like a... No, I didn't print out anything. But there were signs back there. New Elftown. It's about 50 kilometers. I think that we'll be there in 2 days. Of course, we'll stop down for the night.
Sure. It's rough terrain, like you said, too, anyways, so...
Oh, yeah, we're going into the wilderness here. I mean, Val did say that we were going to be going through the North Gate and North Roads, and it's not like there's a lot of different roads you could take off this one once you reach a certain part.
No, it's pretty much just a path.
Yeah. Val's somehow speaking through the cover of the carriage as you're having this conversation, providing commentary on the direction.
Val's relieved to be out back in the outdoors, outside the Renlin walls, honestly.
Which must suck being stuck inside a carriage as you were doing this.
As we're stuck inside the carriage with Fives, smelling of axle oil, but...
Yeah, it could be worse.
That's why we have the cover open, so...
The cover is
top down.
It's not engaging small talk.
Okay, well, a few things. One, it's definitely not engaging small talk. Two, it's not one of those carriages where the top comes down. It's definitely like a solid frame around you guys. If you want to talk, you have to stick your head out the window.
It's not the convertible model.
No, it's not the convertible model.
It's not a soft top. It's a hard top.
Yeah, it's a hard
top. Soft top carriage.
Honest deep on top.
Okay, so I guess you guys are kind of having some halting conversation about like where you guys are going to bed down for the evening as you start to see the sun going down. And Giovanni, can I have you roll a perception check?
Yes. 18.
Okay, Giovanni, you notice that as you're traveling down the road with Lieutenant Black driving the carriage, you can see that sort of off in the distance on the right-hand side of the road seems to be kind of like a bit of a clearing, like there are less trees that are cluttering the region, and you can make out what seems to be some kind of building up the road. And as you get closer, you start to notice that it actually is a fairly large building. It's lone in this wilderness. It's by itself. There's no other structures around, so you certainly don't think you're entering a village. But you can see that it's maybe about two stories tall. Not exactly. Like, there is certainly, like, a stone frame. There is a lot of wood that's integrated into it, certainly on the second story. But the bottom, the second half is mostly stone. And as you pull up, you start to realize that it's actually a tavern.
Oh, perfect.
Oh.
What's going on up there?
I believe I see some sort of tavern nearby.
Mordecai just juts his head out the window.
Beer?
okay, I'll pull up there.
As you start to pull up closer, you see that there is like a stable area where people can park their horses. But you start to notice some other things as well, Giovanni. You had a pretty high roll there. You see that there are no horses, no carriages, or anything that are parked in that area. But as you get even closer to the structure itself, you see that it certainly does not look active. In fact, as you pull right up to it, you can see that the front door has kind of been rotted away, and you see that there are no lights on inside there.
Ooh.
Huh.
Ooh.
Well, seems like they're out of business.
Yes, this would be a good place for us to stay the night, though. Easy to defend if we're relayed by bandits.
I guess so, yeah, that's a good point. Certainly better than sleeping outdoors.
Can I go in and see if like there's any torches I can light or anything like that?
Yeah, sure, that seems like a good idea. What I'll do is I'll park the carriage. You guys go in and clear the place out and make sure it's okay. And I guess I'll meet you up there in maybe about 10, 20 minutes. Sound okay?
I sure hope there's no goblins in here.
Yeah, no, that's...
Well, Giovanni, if there's goblins in here, I'm sure that you will take care of that.
All right, Fives, why don't you stay with Lieutenant Black just as backup, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to leave the carriage anyways.
Fair. All right, cool.
All right, Lieutenant Black pulls right up to the front of the building, and the three of you jump out.
Barrel roll.
I want to light a torch and pull out my sword.
Okay.
And walk into the building.
So it's not exactly nighttime right now. You'd say it's probably late or early evening, but having a torch out is a good thing to do, especially if you're going to a dark place. Lieutenant Black pulls off with the carriage, and you can see her kind of head around the corner of the building, and she disappears from your sight, but you imagine that she is now heading to where, you know, you would prepare the horses, the animals for the evening. In front of you, you can see this large structure, this large tavern. Certainly has seen better days. Maybe its prime is about 30 years ago, but it certainly is not looking nice now. The front door itself is kind of rotted away, and the walls in front of it have overgrown with moss and vines. But, you know, it still could be a nice place. You know, maybe someone wants to pick it up and do some renovations on it. And here you are. So what do? You're standing in front of this building.
Stack up on the front, I guess, like we do in the Renland Guard.
Yeah, I got a bad feeling about this, so I'm going to rummage around in my pockets and pull out my crowbar.
Fair enough.
Just hold it in both hands, and I think I'll take up the back.
Can I ready a bolt in my ghost bow?
Yeah, sure. So let's just go through this one by one. Sure. Giovanni, you have pulled out your sword, and in your offhand, you have a torch. Val, you have taken out your bow. You have an arrow in there, just glowing with spectral light. And Mordecai, you pull out your crowbar, and I imagine you are right behind everybody else.
Bring up the rear.
I'm just going to shout through the door, Renland City Guard, if you're in here, let me know.
One of these times someone's going to answer to that, right? They're not just going to scurry out the back.
All right. Gonna give you 10 seconds. 1, 2.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to kick the door.
On two.
Kick what's left of the door in.
On two. You just kick it in.
The door
okay,
in.
All right. Okay, you kick the door
two,
in.
Kick it in.
All right, kick it in. So there was nobody who spoke out to you, by the way, when you said Renland City Guard. But you kick the door open, on two, and you bust in with your sword and your torch right in front of you. Val right behind you with a shot ready to fire, and Mordecai with as much of gusto as he possibly can use. And you enter a dilapidated, well, tavern.
This place rules.
I'd like to say I think that's like standard Renlin like guard operating procedure, you know, so they can't get rid of the evidence in time.
To yell, you know, Renlin City Guard, and then you kick in on two. Yeah. There was a whole
give them 10 seconds, you come in on two, right? Then
the Renlin City Guard actually has a whole series of workshops that just outline like when to kick in a door. Door kicking 101, door kicking 102. Like, it's a 10-part series. It's quite extensive.
Some guys like to say they're going to count to three and kick on one, but Gio likes to put a little panache on it and do it on count to 10 and then open on two.
It's one to 10.
The studies are conflicting on which is the most effective way to go about doing it, but that's just the one that he prefers.
So you guys kick your way into this large, dilapidated tavern. Strewn about the room are a series of tables that are rotting away, as well as chairs. There's two fireplaces on the right-hand side, and a staircase that leads down to a basement. There's also a stair set that's over top of it that leads up, but the stairs themselves have rotted away, and it would be very difficult to get up there. As well as a bar at the back of the room. There's a long strip of bar, and there's like an old keg and cobwebs everywhere. It's absolutely destroyed. This place certainly has not seen the touch of human contact in quite some time.
I was just going to ask if there was anything above us, like an old chandelier or something that's gone out, or I don't know.
No, there's no chandelier. There are torches that are kind of on the wall, but they have since gone out. There's the fireplaces themselves, and you'd say that there is a ceiling on top. There's certainly a second floor to this building, but there's no conceivable way to try and get up there other than like trying to, I don't know, maybe building a bunch of stuff to go up to a second floor.
I was going to suggest just stacking the table.
I'm going to take some time as Mordecai is looking around, and I'm just going to go by each of the torches and just cast light on them to fill the room so we can see everything clearly.
Okay, so Mordecai walks around, and he starts touching each of the torches that are in their respective brackets and casting a ethereal glow over the rest of this room. So you can see pretty well now. It's not a nice warm light that's coming from these. This is a magical spell. So it's not exactly warm and inviting, but neither is this establishment at all.
Right, guys, you got a little over an hour, so snoop away.
All right.
I'm going to look at the bar.
I want to check out the basement. Because if there are goblins, that's where they'll be, right?
Basement goblins, of course.
Basement dwelling goblins.
The wine cellar.
Okay, so you're going to the basement. Mordecai, you're going to investigate the room you're in. And Val, what are you doing?
I better go with Gio, actually. If he thinks there's goblins.
Yeah, number one problem, split the party, right?
Mm-hmm.
This will be the second time we're doing it now that we've gained two new members.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so Giovanni and Val, you are going into the basement. The stairs down to the basement level of this building are rotting and squeaky, and they don't feel exactly safe is what I'm saying. But you manage to make your way down to the basement, and you can see that you're in a large kind of cellar. There is a series of shelves that are running along the length of it that have just bottles all over them, just different types of bottles. Most of them seem empty or have been unplugged or smashed or things like that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you two to make a, let me ask you.
Investigation.
Do you want to do investigation or perception checks?
I want to do a perception. I want to, like, more sensing if there's another presence there.
Sure, okay. So, Val, roll a perception check. Giovanni, you want to roll an investigation check?
Yeah, I want to see if there's anything valuable or useful here. Oh, 10.
And an 18 for Val.
Okay, so Val, looking around, you can't see anything living down here except maybe some old slugs that have kind of stuck themselves to the walls of this building, certainly on the moist cobblestone that has made up this basement. There's no goblins, no goblin tracks even. Certainly this is confirmed by Giovanni, who stoutly says that there's certainly no goblins living down here. You can't find them.
I trust Gio's expertise.
Yeah. I don't know if this is important, Val, but you do find a series of what look like maybe at one point clean mugs, but that's about it. You don't find any bottles of liquor or anything that seems like you could drink this tonight down here, though.
Hmm.
Well, I think we saw a keg upstairs, so let's grab those mugs and head back upstairs.
All right. We'll grab the mugs.
Okay. Meantime, Mordecai, what do you want to do upstairs? Are you doing an investigation check?
Yeah, I'll investigate the bar.
Okay. So, roll an investigation check.
That's a mighty 4.
Okay, solid four. There are a bunch of smashed bottles around here. It seems like at some point in the past, maybe some ruffians came in here and started smashing some stuff. Of course, they long since left. It just has not been treated very kindly. You can't see anything here that would be potable. Nothing that you could drink. You certainly wouldn't want to drink any water from a nearby barrel. You wouldn't want to drink any of... Well, there is no ale left in this keg here. It's a bad situation, and it might be a reflection of your poor investigation role.
All right, I'll hop over the bar and walk back towards the door and just wait for the lieutenant to come in with fives.
Okay, it's at that point that Val and Giovanni reappear from the basement. You take a step up the stairs, and you're standing there with a bunch of mugs.
Can I attempt to construct, like, just a big step to get upstairs? Like, where are the stairs?
Just hoist each other.
The stairs are almost directly on top of the stairs that you took to go downstairs. Like, they kind of overlap each other. The top stairs, of course, going upstairs, have since broken away. You could probably try and take a table or a series of chairs or something and see if you can reach it. That might boost you a little bit, but it's tough to say. What do you want to do?
I want to try to just push a bunch of stuff up to it, because we can block off the base.
Wait. How far away is it? Like, how big of a leap are we talking?
Oh, fuck off.
Mordecai!
All right.
Can't be more than 8 feet, right?
No, I wouldn't say. It's somewhere between 8 and 10 feet. Like, it's just above human height with a little bit of clearance, like an extra few feet of clearance.
Well, it's not that. Just get on Val's shoulders.
Like, just boost me up or something? Well, the other way around, I think.
You think you could? You could actually hold on to Giovanni's weight and push him up?
No.
Well, the two of us could.
You both could.
Yeah, we each get a leg.
Yeah, we both could for sure.
You're going to have to toss me.
Well, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I'll take one side. You take the other, and we'll hoist on 3, 2.
Yep.
I mean, how tall are these tables, though? I bet if we just pushed a table against the wall, I could just jump, like, climb on the table and hoist myself up.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like we might be setting ourselves up for getting damaged here.
Getting tetanus.
Yeah.
You'd say that these tables might be about, I don't know, 2 to 3 feet high. Like, average table height.
Sure. Yeah, let's just stack up a couple.
Sure. It might be a little difficult because it is, like, this broken staircase is over top of another staircase. So trying to reach that second one from the first one is going to be difficult. But
Val? You could Misty Step him also with your circlet.
I mean, yeah, we can. If we can, just, you know, go like Gio said, like the 10 feet.
If he falls down, you know.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
He's in so much plate, I've never seen him roll over. It's like a turtle.
Save the magic, man.
Fair enough.
Okay, so describe to me what you guys are doing.
Well, it looks like there's like a long bench type thing. I'd put that over because it looks like This guy here would cover the whole
staircase
area.
Make a slide.
Okay.
Yeah, if we... No, I mean just, like, go over it perpendicular to make, like, a cross and then put one of the tables on top of that.
Is any of the bar top loose?
It's still kind of nailed down pretty strong. It is not a movable structure.
Okay.
Okay, could I have you make a...
Even if I use my crowbar?
I mean, you could try and remove it with a crowbar if you felt so keen. It feels like Giovanni might have a solution here. You can, but yeah, sure.
You never know if we're going to need barricade material.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's a real good point. Real good point.
I'm going to go off to this far one that's kind of like crooked over anyways and see if I can start prying away at the thick countertop, not noticing that Giovanni's already had a solution.
I mean, this place does have a real Night of the Living Dead vibe to it, and we will need firewood, too.
That's, well, yeah.
Okay, so Giovanni, I have just created a skill in your character sheet called Craft.
Wow.
What I would like you to do is make a craft roll.
Oh, and it's a strength check.
It's intelligence.
Nice.
Oh. 6. Or, sorry.
I think it's adding your proficiency bonus, but I don't want you to be able to be proficient in it. It only gives me three options. Because you're...
This son of a merchant isn't a crafty
person? Okay, fuck it. You got a 13. Oh. I'll worry about the nuances of creating another skill later. Okay, so you managed to drag this chair over. You kind of reinforce it with maybe some like pegs from other things that have kind of broken off. And now you have
Wait a second. This feels like a wasted opportunity to use a seafaring knowledge check to, like, hoist up a rig or something. Sorry, I'll,
you move the bench over. The bench is stable there. You can now try to climb up.
I'm going to try to climb up.
Okay. This is going to require a real check that actually comes with this game. I would like you to make a athletics check.
24.
Okay, yeah, you fucking nail it. You run towards it. You take one step on top of this table. You jump, you leap into the air, and you manage to pull yourself up onto the staircase that goes up to the second floor.
Does anybody else want to come up?
Yeah, drag me up there, bud.
All right. Okay, I'm going to extend my hand.
I'm completely oblivious.
To pick up Val. That's
okay.
Mark ketchup's away at the countertop.
Sure. Val, could I have you roll a athletics check with advantage?
Sure.
Hey, guys, just give me a minute. I'll have a solution here.
16.
Okay, Giovanni pulls you up. You kind of haul yourself up over top of him, and you're both standing on the second floor while Mordecai's downstairs yelling, hey, I'll figure this out in a second. And you two are already up there.
What are we seeing?
Okay, so in front of you, you can see that this staircase once led to a hallway that extends all the way down the length of this building. And there are a series of doors that come off of this hallway.
Oh, that's so fun. I want to search room by room looking for cool stuff.
Okay.
Maybe because the stairs are rotted out, this place might not be as looted upstairs.
It's a very good point. Very good point.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so I'll say that there are four rooms here. Let's have you guys roll a general investigation check for this area, and that'll simulate you guys going into each of these rooms. Although, I don't know. How do you want to do it? That's one option I will provide to you, but it depends on how, say, cautious you want to be.
I like a roll for each room.
Okay. All right, Giovanni, you go up to the first door on your right.
Door number one.
And what's behind door number one? What do you do? You count to three and you kick on two?
No, I'm just going to try to open it with my with the knob or whatever.
Okay, you pull the knob. All right, so you use the handle like a normal person would in front of a door, and the door opens.
Yep.
It kind of squeaks eerily as you push it open, and you walk in, you take a step into a room, and it's what looks like maybe a room where someone would stay in a hostel. There is a very dilapidated and, like, broken bed in a corner somewhere. There's, like, an old cabinet off to one side. It's a very small room.
Hmm. Let's take a look.
Could I have you roll an investigation check?
5.
Okay, you kind of peer around the room briefly. Everything looks pretty trashed. Like, the bedding on the bed is all rotting away. The cabinet is, like, broken. There are a bunch of boards that have kind of been strewn to the side. It's a pretty destitute room.
Hey, Val, you want to take a look at this destitute room? See if I missed anything?
Sure. I'll walk in and I'll roll an investigation, I guess, as well.
Sure.
12.
Okay, Val, you pretty much see the same things. There's nothing really too impressive in this room.
All right. Door number two.
Okay, let's just say the same thing happens again. You open the door slowly. It creaks. It's creepy. You take a step in. Investigation check.
19.
Okay, so this room is more or less identical to the other room that you just were in, with the exception that there is a chest lying in front of the bed.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You approach the chest.
Can I attempt?
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to see if I could just open it or if it's locked.
Okay, so you approach the chest, you stoop in front of it, and you try to open the lid, but it will not move.
Can I try to...
Only you had a crowbar.
How heavy is this chest?
I would say maybe about 80 pounds. Like, it's a heavy, it is a heavy chest.
I want to take it out of the room and throw it into the bar downstairs.
Okay, you start pulling this chest out, and, can I have you roll a strength check?
7.
Okay, you start moving this chest, but it just starts grinding into the floorboards below it, and it catches, and you can't move it any further. You maybe get at a total of, like, 2 feet.
Val, you want to try to give me a hand with this thing?
Sure. I'll get on the other side of it. Or...
Okay, I will allow Val to make a strength check with advantage.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Ooh. 10 it is.
Okay, all right, you rolled a 10. You guys managed to move it, like, another foot, and it just sits there. It is not moving any further.
What? You said it was 80 pounds.
It's not my fault that you rolled stupidly.
And I mean, Val's borderline anorexic, so.
I think, stop me at any time if you think I'm being silly, but I think Giovanni is capable of lifting up to 400 pounds.
I don't know if 400 would be a good amount of weight that Giovanni could lift, but Giovanni, you are certainly a strong fella.
What's his bench?
Like, you could certainly, like, move 80 pounds, but for whatever reason, right now, you're just not feeling it. you feel like you just can't move it.
Maybe you're,
that's how dice work, baby.
Winded from jumping up the stairs.
I want to cram a dagger into the lock and try to break it open.
Okay, could I have you make a strength check?
Come on, 15.
Okay, you managed to scrape up the lock pretty badly, like trying to jam your dagger in there and pry it open, or like to try and click a lock. You're not able to make any headway though, because this is a goddamn knife and you're sticking into a keyhole. But you do kind of like pry a little bit of the metal back, and you might be able to get access to the gears, but it's tough to say. This is all that this knife will do for you.
All right, well, let's get Mordecai up here to take a look at this.
Speaking of which, can I do some sort of a check to see how well I've been able to mangle up this countertop?
give me a second here.
Strength check? I don't know. Some reefing on it with a crowbar.
That's a really good point. So you two are upstairs right now. Brennan and I are going to disappear.
Uh-oh.
What? Are they still gone?
The fuck? For real?
Okay, Brendan.
Yes. Yeah.
So you are in the basement here, and you are going to try and pry off the bar for some reason.
Yeah.
Could I have you make a strength check?
Definitely. 3.
You are not able to make any headway whatsoever. In fact, there's a certain point where your crowbar starts to bend back a little bit, and you feel like, maybe I should stop.
Yep. Okay. I'll turn around and notice that the other two have disappeared.
Yeah, the other two have disappeared. They've already clambered up upstairs, and you are standing over at the bar.
Son of a bitch.
Mordecai, could I have you make a perception check?
Okay. 19.
Okay, you start to hear something behind you. It doesn't sound quite like Giovanni and Val upstairs, you know, messing around with the chest, which they certainly are, and certainly you can hear the thumps from upstairs. But you start to hear, like, something that sounds, and this sounds weird, moist. Something that just sounds a little bit off. And you look around, and you look behind you, and there is a table immediately behind you, and on top of that table is a bottle. And it doesn't look quite like a bottle, Mordecai, because it's starting to grow.
Oh no.
And it's starting to kind of move, like the weird sheen on the glass is kind of breaking and cracking, and you can see underneath it is flesh.
Oh. Can I immediately hop back behind the bar?
Nope. You had your chance. This thing is now taking its.
Oh, crap.
All of a sudden, this bottle flies towards you. It's weird because it's a bottle. So I need you, Mordecai, to roll a strength check.
Great. Great, 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 great. 7.
Mordecai, this bottle, for some reason, is stuck to you.
Oh, God. It's...
Mordecai, I need you to roll initiative.
Shit. So I got a 9.12.
Okay, so you rolled a 9, and this bottle rolled a 14.
Lovely. So I'm screaming really loud.
Sure. It's perhaps at this point that Val and Giovanni, you hear screaming from downstairs.
Sweet mother of God, get it off me!
Okay, and this bottle hits you. It rolled a 19.
God damn it, that hits.
Okay, you take 8 damage, and it is still stuck to you.
I will retaliate. Wait, quick question. Where is it attached to me?
It is attached to you, like, on the front of your chest.
Okay. Then Mordecai is obviously freaking out. I'm going to take both of my hands, not touching the thing, because obviously it's stuck to me somehow. And I would like to twin spell Firebolt into either side of it.
Okay, so that's a spell attack.
So the first one is a 17 to hit for 10 damage.
Okay.
And the second one is a 22 to hit for 6.
Okay, so you do 16 damage to it. So you fire off 2 shots directly into this bottle that's adhering to your chest. And it does not care too much for that. It's now the bottle's turn. It is going to bite you.
Don't do that.
And because it's adhered to you, it has advantage on attack rolls.
Of course it does. Of course.
It rolled a 21.
Yeah, that does it.
It only does 4 points of piercing damage and 1 point of acid damage.
Okay.
Ah, fuck that smarts. Bonus action mage armor.
Okay. All right, so all of a sudden a glimmering shield pops up right in front of you, and the and weirdly, this bottle that's adhering to yourself, so it's just kind of adhering to the glowing field that's around you.
Wait, did it go around? Oh, Christ.
It didn't go around you.
Did I just trap it inside the shield with me?
It's not trapped inside the shield with you. I will allow that.
Disadhere it. Okay.
No, it didn't. I think that there is a strong argument behind why this bottle could have been stuck inside this shield, but it has not.
Okay. Mordecai is desperately trying to remember what mimics are weak to, cannot remember anything, and he frantically goes, different element. Night Ray of Frost this bitch. 27 to hit for 9.
27 does hit, and it takes that 9 damage.
Okay.
So Mordecai, you just tried to hit this thing with an ice spray, Ray of Frost, nailed it. You hit it, you did some damage. Meanwhile, Val and Giovanni, you're upstairs trying to move this chest along, and you start hearing very high-pitched squealing and crying noises from downstairs.
Come on.
Crying?
Well, sure.
This low guttural voice.
Yeah, it's a weirdly specific high-pitched squeal and cry out. Not like tears, but you know what? The night's still young.
You should probably go check that out. Talking to Val. Val, can you
Yeah, well, I
figured just a quiet from Val.
I already got moving. I've since dropped the chest and I'm moving down the stairs, so.
Oh, I'm still. Okay, I feel so like you're I'm still looking at the chest. Then saying this to nobody, just hearing the cries. I'm still thinking.
We are so good at communicating.
You should probably check this out, man. Hey, Val, this is not there.
Yeah. I'm gone.
Val's already gone. Okay, all right. So, Val, you reach the end of this hallway. Giovanni starts scrambling up behind you, and you are at the staircase that is broken, going down. You're going to leap down.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, both of you, athletic rolls. You're doing a jump and a roll, Giovanni?
Jump and roll.
All right, acrobatics check, not athletics.
Val rolls a 19.
16.
You actually rolled a nat 20 there,
Oh,
Val.
Sorry, yeah.
You have a minus one.
That's right.
All right, so you rush down the stairs, and you jump down, and you hit the ground, and you do a roll right onto a nice little patio. You did a jump and roll, and you weren't trying to. It just kind of really came naturally
flawless.
To you, and you're feeling great. You jump back up, and there's a series of judges off to the side that race 10 cards. Giovanni, you do the same, but you get down there. You see that Val is kind of standing at this, like, with his arms up in the air, looking really, like, proud of himself.
I was imagining,
you don't see any judges or anybody clapping. It's just kind of weird.
I was imagining he did it in, like, the Black Widow phase. Wait, you landed just like with the hand down and like the legs spread out, kind of. That's how I chose.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is an auditory only medium. You are welcome to imagine that. The two of you rise up from where you landed, and you see that Mordecai is like glowing in this room, and he has a bottle just adhering to his chest, and there's like sheens of fire, red hot, like glowing, as well as ice also like on the front of his chest.
Jeez.
And I need both of you to roll initiative.
Oh, I don't even know what to do with this guy.
And there we go. Okay, so we're now at the top of the turn order with all the present people in this room. The bottle goes first. It's adhered to Mordecai, who just shot off a ray of frost on it. It's actually going to try and bite into you again.
Okay.
It rolled a 23.
Well, that mage armor did nothing. It definitely beats a 15.
Yep. Okay, you take 5 piercing damage from the bite, as well as 8 acid damage.
Jeez.
Oh, I'm not looking too hot.
All right, next up is Val.
Jeez, I'm not sure how to approach this, Mordecai. Kind of in shock.
Just don't touch it.
It's
sticky.
Okay, I'm glad you called that out to me.
Get off to the side of me and hit it with an arrow or something. Just don't hit me.
Yeah,
Stab it. I don't know.
Yeah,
it hurts.
I think I want to use Flame Blade, actually.
Oh, Christ.
And kind of just try and lop it off if I can, like.
It's not going to look.
Tilt my head back.
Just kind of, like, I don't know, just try and get the heat, try and.
I trust you.
I just, like, there's this mouth just creeping out of this bottle, like the top of it has just kind of cracked off, and there's a mouth coming out of it. It's latching onto Mordecai's chest, and like Mordecai just looks away, trying not to see what's about to happen, as Val sticks out his hand and a flaming blade appears in it, and you take a step towards Mordecai and the bottle.
Flame blade.
Okay.
Nine. No dice.
Okay. All right, let me see the AC of this thing. No, you swing down and you narrowly miss it.
Okay.
And you end up hitting the floor right in front of Mordecai.
That's good, though. Like, if I narrowly miss, does the heat from the blade discourage the mimic from attacking Mordecai?
If it has, you do not see it.
Okay, so then I have failed. I'm sorry, Mordecai.
I already tried fire. It didn't work.
Oh.
All right, next up, Mordecai. Your turn.
Okay. It's sticky. Fire didn't work. Ice didn't work. Crap. I'm going to use one more cantrip. I'm going to see if I can cast Mage Hand behind the bottle and have it grab the bottle and try and, like, pry it away from me.
Okay. So I'll allow that. So you cast Mage Hand. A spectral hand appears in front of you just, like, a few feet, and it flies back, grabs onto the bottle. I'm going to need you to roll a strength check to pull it off.
17.
Yeah, okay, you managed to pull it off. You pull this bottle off of you. It kind of takes some of your shirt with it as you pull it off.
Son of a... I don't have a lot of clothes. I'm just gonna do my coat up.
Ooh, give me a second here. I'm just reading a characteristic here.
Right.
That's not a good laugh.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
That's not a good laugh, Josh.
No, it's not. Never so, so the adhesive characteristic actually makes you have disadvantage whenever you try to pull this off of it.
So you want me to roll again?
No, I'll balance it out because I'll say that you would have had advantage to try and pull this off.
Okay.
Because you had a hand pulling it off and you had yourself, I imagine, pulling it off as well. And so that kind of cancels out the disadvantage that you would have had. So yeah, it's still off. I'll allow that for now. Cool. But for future reference, if this thing tries to adhere to somebody else, those are the stakes. Those are the stakes.
Gotcha.
Okay, so Mordecai, that was your turn. Giovanni, you're up next. So this bottle's been pulled off of you, Mordecai. It's just kind of floating in the air, being held by this hand.
I am going to strike it.
Okay.
It's sticky.
With my sword.
It's going to stick to your sword, I swear. Here we go.
It's going to stick to the sword?
Is there glue in this world? I'm sure there's glue.
How much,
it's like glue.
How much damage do you think this we need to do to this thing?
I don't know, but it took me down to a third of my health.
You're having a long conversation for 6 seconds.
Yeah, I'll shoot it with a crossbow.
Okay, Giovanni, you pull out your crossbow. You take a shot at it.
22.
Okay, you rolled a 22. Let's read through this. So you actually are using Medso's crossbow.
That's right.
Which I don't think you ended up selling.
No, I sold the diehard crossbow.
A target hit with a ranged attack with this crossbow takes 3d4 piercing damage instead of its normal damage. When you hit with an attack using this weapon and roll 3 on the same number of its damage dice, use the matching number to determine what effects.
Oh, I rolled 3 fours.
Fuck. Yeah, so when you hit with an attack using this weapon and roll 3 of the same number of its damage dice, so you rolled 3 dice and you rolled the same number on it, so I think this is activating its effect.
Yep.
Use the matching number to determine what effect occurs using the table below. So you have 4 different things that could happen. You rolled 3d4, you rolled 3 fours. So that activates the 4th attribute of Medso's crossbow, which is if the target is a hostile creature, 30 gold pieces magically appears at your feet.
Tight.
I love that.
All right, you shot it, you hit it. All of a sudden, you hear a jangle of coin in front of you.
I like to imagine that if it flies out of the crossbow and makes like slot machine noises.
Ting, 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 ting.
I'm going to just grab that gold as I reload.
Sure, okay.
I only get to attack once with the ranged weapon, right?
Crossbows are always ready to fire once per action. Reloading takes place immediately before firing as a free interact action similar to drawing a sword. So you can still retain a bonus. So yes, you can fire the crossbow once each turn as long as you have ammunition. So yeah, I think you can fire it again.
All right. I got the book. I just want to double check really quickly to make sure it's not just a melee attack thing.
All right.
Yeah, it's extra attack. I'm just going for it.
Yep.
Books are stupid.
Chop him up, Gio.
Ooh, I only rolled a 10 that time.
Shot goes wide. You miss it.
That's okay.
All right, it is the bottle's turn. It's going to get out of whatever this grapple is with this hand. So I'm going to need you to make a strength check there, Mordecai.
Sure.
13.
It rolled a 21.
Oof.
It kind of turns, it flips itself around, it squeezes out of the hand, and the hand just kind of clasps into empty air as the bottle hits the ground. And out of the bottle, like, sprouts these four different weirdly shaped arm ligaments. And then it starts...
It's like the thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And it starts rushing towards Val. It's going straight at him. Then all of a sudden, it takes a hard left, and the arms disappear, and the bottle just drifts down the staircase, clunk, 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 and disappears into the basement.
Oh, hell, man. We can't let that thing live.
Nope.
Hell no.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How many of those bottles were down in the basement?
Oh.
You guys were down there earlier. Did you see more bottles like
that? Yeah, shit, there were.
Could be an ambush.
Guys, what if we set the building on fire?
I was just going to say we burn the mother down.
Yeah, let's can we do that?
You certainly could.
Yeah, wait, where's the lieutenant and Fives? You think they would have came in by now?
True.
Unless there's more mimics.
I mean, like, IRL, this has been an hour or two of us playing, but in gameplay, this has probably only been, like...
A minute.
10 minutes of you guys just investigating this building.
Okay, never mind.
All right.
Rescinded.
There's a treasure chest we can't get open upstairs. Let's just set the building on fire.
Also probably a mimic. Okay.
Let's just set the building on fire. We'll solve all our problems.
Where are we going to sleep tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, we could rough it in the cart.
Mordecai, like, starts poking things around him with the crowbar to see if they come alive. Pokes a table. He pokes a chair.
Yeah, I'm, like, fashioning a torch. How did it go prying the bar apart? What was the problem? Can we get a status update on that?
Hold on. Now, how fast is it? How did this bottle crawl away?
Well, you can't see it. It's crawled downstairs.
Okay, well, I just want to go after it real quick.
Sure, it's your turn, Val. You want to run down the stairs after it?
Sure, yeah. My sword casts like lights, my flame sword, so I want to just see if I can see it before it comes in contact with other bottles, maybe? Or...
All right, fine. I'm gonna back Val up, if that's what he's choosing to do.
Okay, I don't want to go through like 30 bottles, you know, wondering which would, but if I could still see it moving before it turns into another one or something, then... You know, I'll attack it, I guess.
Wait, how big was the basement? Was it the same size as this floor, or was it just like a small wine cellar?
I didn't notice. Did you?
It's pretty small.
Sure.
Okay, so, like, dimension-wise, off the top of your head, Josh, as the DM, how big was it?
I would say maybe about 40 by 20 seems about right.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to need a volunteer.
For what?
Yeah, for what?
Okay, you remember on the boat how I kind of burned everything down?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I don't follow. I don't... What do you say?
I've done a bit more research. I've done a bit more practice with this spell that I've got. I could do more than fire. We could go down into the basement... And myself and one other person, we could just spew poison or ice or acid all over the place. And then just board up the basement and they'll have to sit in it.
I like it.
I like it too.
And then that way we still have a place to sleep.
Can I use this opportunity to go back upstairs and finish the investigation of the other rooms?
Yeah.
It's going to be another mimic.
All right. So what's the plan here? Who's going upstairs? Who's going downstairs?
I can go upstairs.
Giovanni, you're going upstairs to investigate things?
Yeah.
Val, you want to come with me?
Yeah, I was going to run downstairs, stick my nose downstairs real quick, and just make sure, just see if I couldn't see the mimic still moving.
Okay, so Mordecai and Val, you're going to go downstairs. Giovanni, you're going to go investigate things upstairs. Could I get Giovanni to roll another athletics check to pull yourself up to the second floor?
Nat 20.
Jesus.
Nat 20. Yeah, you pull yourself up there. Weirdly, you also do a roll, and you stand up, and it looks fantastic, and you can hear clapping in your head. And you're up there, you have a lot of movement, and you can do whatever you like.
Door number 3.
Okay, door number 3. Could I have you... Well, the door is not locked. You can just turn the handle and walk in.
I'm gonna walk in and investigate it.
Okay. So could I have you roll an investigation
check? Crit fail.
Okay, absolutely nothing in this room. You, like, there is no, there. It's just completely empty. There is no bed, there is no chest, there's no nothing.
All right, door number 4.
Okay, open the door.
And investigation, 18.
There we go.
Okay, awesome. So you kind of look around, you kind of go through some of the drawers. You can see that it's a bedroom just like everything else on the second floor, except for that one mysterious room that had nothing in it. And you pull out some of the drawers, and you find, like, 10 gold pieces there.
Yay.
Just kind of strewn around. Looks like they it's not in a purse or anything. They're just kind of out in the open there.
Cool. I really want to go try that chest one more time.
Sure, I'll allow it. So
is
you go
there
over
a window
and you...
in the bedroom that the chest is in?
Yep.
Can I try to just lift it? Like, flip the chest over and then flip it out the window?
Yep, you can do that.
Go for the hinges.
Is that a strength check?
Yeah, it's going to be a strength check.
Come on. 14.
Okay, so you manage to flip it up onto its side. You kind of push it over to the wall that's right where the window is. And you start tugging it up. And you manage to pull it up just to the window.
Fuck. Is there anything I can set it on? Near the window? Like a little table or something?
No, there's nothing there. You're just kind of holding this chest, this large chest, against a window here.
Oh, can I, wait, so it's against the window?
Yeah, it's against the window.
Oh, I'm just gonna push it out of the window, break it. I'm wearing gauntlets, I'm not gonna get cut.
Alright, can I have you roll a strength check?
8.
Okay, it's glass, you're holding an 80-pound chest. It doesn't take a lot of work to push this back through, and that's exactly what you do, is you push this chest out the window, and you hear a large clunking noise as it hits the ground, and you hear a robot down below yell,
"What the hell is that?"
Hey, Five, see if you get that chest open for me.
Okay, you duck your head out the window and yell at Fives, get that chest open, and I imagine you duck it back in. Meanwhile, Mordecai and Val. All
right, Val, I say we crop dust this place before you snoop around.
That's gross.
Use your magic trick?
Yeah, so this might be a bit awkward for you, but a lot of magical energy is going to come spewing out of your mouth.
Gross.
It's
also going to come spewing out of my mouth, so I suggest we aim kind of away from each other, just slightly.
Okay.
When it was attacking me, it was melting my clothes, so I'm assuming acid's not gonna hurt it. So, what do you think? Fire might burn the building down. Cold's an idea. Or, poison? Maybe lightning?
Did you hit it with lightning or no?
No. I tried cold and I tried fire and it hurt it, but I don't know if it, like, stuck.
Well, let's give it the lightning treatment then, I think. If I had to guess, and we won't run the risk of burning the place down so bad.
I mean, you might.
Fair enough.
Well, we might. I didn't say we ruled it out. I said so bad.
I'm gonna pull Val into one of those, like, you're my buddy over the shoulder kind of shoulder to shoulder hugs or whatever. There, I'm gonna say, okay, you point your face one way, and I'll aim mine the other way, and we'll just get the entire basement. You ready to ride the lightning?
Ride the lightning.
So weird. And I'm going to use some of my sorcery points to channel a 15-foot cone out of both of our mouths of lightning damage to just sweep the entire basement.
Okay.
The shocker.
That's like 30-foot cone altogether.
Are you ready, baby?
Whatever's in there that's alive has to make a dex save of 15, I think it says. Yeah, dexterity 15 saving throw, taking 3d6 if it fails or half as much on the success.
Okay, all right. So you guys decide you want to start breathing some weird fire down there. What are you doing again?
Lightning.
You're doing lightning
breath.
Okay. Lightning damage. Okay. So the two of you take a very cautious step down the stairs. Mordecai, you put your hand on Val's left shoulder. He's slightly in front of you. We're not quite sure what that's about. Maybe Mordecai's slightly pushing him down.
Human shield.
And you start going down the stairs. So what do you do? Describe to me exactly what happens. What do you need to roll?
So Mordecai and Val are going to just kind of like fill up the doorway at the bottom of the stairs without going into the room, hopefully.
Okay.
I wrap my arm around his far shoulder, and I'm going to start channeling this electrical energy into his body and into mine.
And I'm not trying to resist the magic or anything, obviously, because I know he's trying to do it, so...
Fair. All right, so you guys breathe out lightning. All of a sudden, Mordecai and Val, you guys feel like you have a serious acid reflux problem, and you just start burping out lightning in front of you. This is a very surreal experience. Mordecai, you're sort of used to this. I feel like you've done stuff like this that's pretty similar in the past. You've certainly done it on other people, whether they wanted it or not.
Great party trick.
Yeah, it's a cool party trick. Val, this might be a little surreal for you, but it's happening since Mordecai kind of walked you through this. And you shoot out lightning in a 15-foot cone in front of you. There's four different, like, aisles that are in front of you that are filled with bottles. And there's kind of a keg off to the far right-hand side. You can't quite make it out because of how this room is set up. But you burn through the first, like, section of this room. And it just lights up in lightning. Like, it's shooting through the shelves and they're just cracking and bursting. Like, some of them kind of catch on fire from the lightning, and there's smoke everywhere and dust flying up in the air, and you can't quite see. But after a moment, the dust starts to settle.
So the bottle wasn't down here?
We went down here, all right.
You have no idea. I may have done a secret roll to determine, because you don't know where this thing is.
All right, hopefully whatever's down here is dead.
Did we observe a bunch of bottles that were maybe non-mimic, like real bottles, like bursting and exploding and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Okay, you were already down here once before, Val, and you were walking around. You know there's a bunch of bottles here.
Yeah.
Mordecai, could I have you roll the damage?
Was there any, like, disembodied screaming or... Sorry.
So, two sets of 3d6, one for me and one for Val?
Yep.
First one's 10. Second one's a 13.
Okay, I don't know. You don't hear any screaming. You don't hear anything else. There's huge explosions in front of you, so if there was screaming, it probably was covered up by that. But here you are, standing at the bottom of the staircase.
Let's proceed carefully.
Yeah, I want to just, like, kind of cast my flame sword out around the room. I don't see any movement or anything that might betray the mimic.
You do not see anything. You just see, like, a bunch of smoke popping up from around you and dust settling as the shelves now fall into their new homes. You guys are welcome to move your characters around in this room if you want to investigate further.
I'll go to the left side of the room and... If there's any bottles that aren't smashed, I'm going to smash them with my crowbar.
Okay, Mordecai, you pull out your crowbar, and you start smashing, like, bottles as you see them. There's a few that are kind of strewn on the ground from this explosion that's kind of pushed things out. You start smashing bottles. There are, like I said, a few. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Just bottles on the ground, you're smashing them.
I'm going to go to the other side and just kind of systematically kind of go through, smash any bottles with my sword that look... A little too intact.
Okay, yeah, in the direction of where the keg is. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So Val, you start heading in that direction. You start walking down an aisle, and you just kind of take your sword and smashing bottles that are left on some of the shelves here.
Yeah.
Okay. All of a sudden, Val, you feel something hit your leg.
Ah!
Man, we would not make good exterminators.
Well, I knew one of us were going to get it.
It rolled a 20.
Oh, God.
You take 9 damage. Ugh. Bludgeoning damage. That's it. But this is now adhered to your leg. Okay, could I have you roll initiative?
Yeah, of course.
Can it be implied that when Giovanni heard screaming, he made his way towards it?
Certainly. You're in the top room of this building, and, like, that whole moving around, moving that chest was going on while this was happening. You probably heard the explosions and bangs from downstairs.
Don't worry, we got it.
I was like, that.
But I'll.
Those are normal sounds that we hear quite often.
Those are normal sounds. You could make your way down here in, like, a turn or two.
Okay.
Val?
I rolled a 14.
Mordecai, let's get you in on that as well.
15.
And the bottle is now here. Rolled nat 20.
Nice.
Okay, bottle's turn. It's going to bite you, Val.
Ah!
It's going to bite you real good. The bottle rolled a 12 when trying to bite through your leg.
Nope. Not gonna do it.
Okay. Alright, it rolled a nat 20, so it's gonna roll again. It rolled an 18 this time.
Ugh. Yeah, he's gonna get me.
Alright, that's 7 piercing damage and 7 acid damage for a grand total of 14 damage.
Good lord.
God.
Mordecai, it is now your turn. You hear screaming from over in the corner.
I'm gonna run over to the aisle right beside him and just move in a little bit so I've got a bit of cover. Is there a space in the shelf that I could see through to hit the mimic?
Could I have you roll a perception check?
I mean, we did just mess this place up, so that's fair. 12.
Yeah, you manage to find, like, a little crack, and you can see Val, like, shuffling and kind of, like, writhing against the biting of this bottle against his leg.
Okay. Can I put my arm on the shelf as kind of like a bipod stabilizer kind of thing and point my finger gun down at the mimic and shoot it with a firebolt? And I'm just going to yell at Val, hold still!
Get off!
All right.
Oh, 10 to hit.
The 10 misses.
Goes wide.
Yeah, firebolt goes wide. It just kind of streams past Val's legs, which, you know, could be good, could be bad. Speaking
stop
of Val,
shaking.
stop shaking. Val, it's your turn. You have a bottle adhered to your leg.
Oh, boy. Okay. I want to try and take a swing out with the flame blade.
Just slowly dig it down into its head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
actually.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah. Like, just kind of, yeah, I apply it almost.
How can you miss? It's attached to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Roll the hit.
Oh, I'll miss it. is that 22?
Yeah. That's a nat 20, actually.
All right, yeah, nat 20. Pry them off. Burn them off.
Okay. Okay, all right, all right. So the bottle, so you bring this sword down, and you start trying to pry it off your leg, and as you do that, it starts cutting into the flesh that's behind all that glass, the refractive glass that's covering its hide, and you start prying it into the skin, and it wrenches itself off of your leg as you push it off, and your sword just stays embedded in the bottle as it starts to burst into flame, and you start to hear screaming from it, screaming, just retching out, and then it stops moving.
Is it dead?
It's just like a flaming mass that's on the floor in front of you.
Val, you okay, buddy?
Good guy. Like, try and, like, tramp it out, like, my boot?
Yeah, sure. You certainly could.
Sure.
All right, you go ahead and you put the fire out with your foot.
Sure.
And just like, crushing into the bottle.
Good. And it doesn't try and reanimate itself or anything? Or
nope.
All right.
You just start pushing it into the cobblestone below your feet. Whoa. It's pretty gross. It's like gooey. It's really gooey. unusually gooey, so.
Kind of sticky from the heat. Yeah.
It's sticky from the heat. Sticky from itself. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like if you lit glue on fire, it would just be like that, and you're pushing it in. It's really gross.
Okay.
And there it is. The mimic is dead. You guys have defeated the mimic.
God, man, that hurt, though. I want to just take an opportunity to just lay hands on myself. Cure wounds.
Yeah.
I'm at 12 of 38.
Let me just see. I cast that at second level, so.
Remind me the next time we level up to have a flashback with Martin.
Yeah.
Do some wizard training so I can learn some freaking healing spells.
So I recover.
I don't think wizards have healing spells.
Come on.
Val recovers 11 hit points.
Okay, all right, you're back up to 31.
I can heal you guys. I think we're also going to take a rest.
I'll pop
here
a health
too.
Potion.
Oh, yeah, true that.
Mordecai, you pull out a health potion and drink some away?
Yeah.
Okay. You rolled a 7 there. You get 7 hit points back.
Well, that sucked. Is there a door on this basement, or was it just stairs?
Just stairs.
You should put a door on this basement.
You could put a bunch of...
This shit stinks.
You could
now
put a bunch of tables and stuff on top of it.
I'm going to just saunter back upstairs.
I like to think as you guys are coming up the stairs, I'm about to just start lighting the building on fire. This is the plan, right?
No, we got it. Oh. We got it.
Just holding a torch like up to a pile of wood. Just like, yeah.
Are you sure? Because I already have it going. You want to burn it anyways?
Like, this pile here.
We're going to light it with us in the basement? It's a bad way to go.
I threw a chest outside. Do you want to use your crowbar and go see if we can get it open?
Oh, good idea.
You know what? It's better than dealing with mimics.
Get some fresh air. Get that awful, awful smell out of your noses.
Out of your lungs. Yeah.
That hot garbage fire.
There is a door at the back of the bar that opens up. Giovanni, you wagered that that's probably going to be the best way for you to be able to get outside to where you threw that chest. All right, so what do? You go out the back door and you try to get to that chest?
Yeah. I think we should probably make sure that it's sitting right side up. And then I'll slam my crowbar into it.
Hey, Fives, any luck with this chest?
No luck. Somebody destroyed the lock at the front of it.
Yeah.
Difficult to get in.
Yeah.
All right, Mordecai, could I have you roll a strength check with advantage?
Okay. I'm going to need it. 11, because I'm weak.
Can I try with
okay,
the
you try to dig your crowbar in there, and you're just not able to make any headway. You can see that Fives and Lieutenant Black have walked up behind you guys, and they're now looking at what you're doing.
Hey,
you found a chest there. Huh.
Yes.
Why don't we just go with the hinges? You gotta pop the pin out of the back, and then the lock means nothing.
Hey, Mordecai, can I try the crowbar?
Yeah, here, just don't break it. I'll pass it.
I couldn't quite get my dagger in there.
Now that's why it was fucked up. Okay.
Nine!
you have advantage with the crowbar, by the way.
Oh, sick. Not 20.
There we go.
Okay, all right, yeah. You manage to get the crowbar in there. You start applying pressure down, and you hear a boop, a pin noise just kind of pick off, and then the top of the chest just opens
what
up.
What do we got?
And a mimic pops out.
A smaller chest.
Okay, and another mimic.
That would
pops
actually be
out.
a good trap, putting a mimic in a treasure box.
Well, that's why a lot of them are shaped like a treasure chest.
I know, but imagine one inside of a chest box.
It would be the best.
Well, I'm sure.
Okay, so Giovanni, you peer inside the chest with the hinges broken off at the back, and you look down and you see a bunch of gold.
Ooh. How much?
There is 98 gold in here.
All right. Do I owe someone gold right now? Like, someone lent me money to buy stuff.
I don't remember. I think I gave you some, but...
Oh, that's right. Here, you guys can just split this. I found some gold upstairs already.
That was me, but I think I got your cards, though, eh?
Yeah, but I don't need a lot of gold.
Are you sure?
You know what? As the party treasurer,
Whoa, why are you the party treasurer?
I don't have much, but Val doesn't really care for gold so much.
Because I've got pockets.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's not a good look for a paladin to be, like, super hoarding gold all the time. I'm more interested in holy relics and trinkets and stuff.
That's 100% why.
All right. You know what? I'll hold on to it, and then if there's any party expenses that come up, you just let me know.
Wonderful.
Okay, you can hear footsteps up behind you, kind of looking at the gold, and Lieutenant Black kind of peers over your shoulders and says, "Oh, gold. I see you guys found some gold. Cool.
They killed him.
Are you going to split that with everybody here?
They killed a mimic in the basement.
Jesus, there's... Okay. I didn't know those existed.
I'm surprised.
I thought that was just like a fairy tale.
Surprised you even know what it is.
No, those are 100% real.
Yeah.
Creepy. Okay. Well, that's weird. Are there any more? Like, is the place safe to stay?
Maybe.
You can, like, we've fumigated the basement, so I don't think there's any coming out of there, but there's a second floor that
hard to say.
I think we still need to finish checking, right?
I checked it all out.
We're probably fine. I mean, we just, you know, barricade the doors tonight, maybe bring the horses inside. I don't know.
No, I don't know if they'll fit in here, but we did... like, get them pretty well settled in the stable out back. I think they'll be okay there for the evening. Should we bring our stuff in and get settled?
Yeah, let's settle up.
Yeah. I'm worried that somebody might steal our ride.
Good point.
Fives, you want to stay at the stables?
Yeah.
We should have someone keeping watch anyway, right?
He's a robot. He doesn't sleep.
I can stay with the horses.
Yeah, we could do, watch.
I don't want to be around you guys anyways.
Fives, you're the best. Alarm protocol number two. Turn your volume all the way
that
up.
That means nothing to me. Goodbye.
And he turns around and starts walking towards the stable.
I programmed him myself.
Is Fives in, like, the rebellious teenage?
Yeah, Fives is in, like, his rebellious teenage, or, like, ages.
Teenage phase. Yeah. It's like teenage Groot.
Man, they grow up so fast. Cool.
Don't talk back to me, Five.
Okay, all right. So the four of you, I guess, kind of, maybe you follow Fives back to the stables and pick up your bedding and your other equipment and head back into the tavern. Could I have you guys all roll survival checks? And this is just going to simulate you guys kind of getting set for the night.
A crit fail.
I feel like that should be higher.
I rolled a crit fail.
23 for Val.
And Lieutenant Black rolled a 9. All right, so what did you roll there, Mordecai?
Somehow a 2. Survived on the streets for 6 years.
Yeah, I know. You always say that.
How to do
it. You guys are trying, like, setting out your bed rolls, and you're, like, making a little fire in one of the fireplaces and taking out some cured meats. And Lieutenant Black is setting up her stuff right next to you, Mordecai. And she sees that you are absolutely struggling to just unroll a bed mat. Like, you keep kind of tying it in knots. And she looks over at you and she says, "I thought you slept on the streets."
Yeah, I didn't have a bedroll.
How nice of you to assume I had a sleeping
roll. Yeah, Giovanni, you just, I don't know.
I forgot to bring anything.
It's just like you can't find your bedroll.
You don't know where it is.
Have you guys Gnarly. Seen my backpack?
It's still in my bag of holding. I just haven't taken it out yet.
Giovanni just kind of pulls out his shield and sets it down as a pillow and lays on the floor with his shield as a pillow.
Aw.
Oh, but I like to be naked, but that's okay. <Like that. laughs>
I didn't say that you're not naked.
Here, oh god, this is going to be a fun night. Fun night.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast. If you're interested in hearing more about us, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Anchor, or Patreon as Late and Legends. A special thanks to our patrons this week, Al, Aaron, DJ Seath, Ethan, and Jason. If you're like these very special people and want to support our podcast, join us over on Patreon, and be sure to leave us a review on Spotify and iTunes. That helps us a lot. With that, we'll see you next week.